I don't know if you know it or not, but you're sitting in the house of miracles. Okay, you serve a God who is a God of miracles. And God didn't do miracles back in the day, but he doesn't do them anymore today, because Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I really had it stirring in my heart this morning that there's some of you here this morning and you need a miracle. Okay, you've got something going on in your life. You know somebody that has something going on in their life and they need a miracle. So could I get you to close your eyes right where you're seated this morning? And if that speaks to you and you think to yourself, hey, I need this miracle in my life, would you just lift your hand up in the air? And I want to pray over all of us this morning. Would you just lift your hand as a sign of faith as you reach out to God? One of my favorite verses in James, and it says, as we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Now, there are hands up all over the room. And so I want to pray. Father God, I thank you that we are in the house of miracles, that you are a Father God of miracles. And Lord, all across this room, Lord, we need a miracle. We need an intervention. We need to move. We need you to move. We need creative miracles. And God, we cry out to you this morning. Father, I thank you that you move in our lives and that we see miracles. The things that we have going on in our lives, God, you bring a miracle about. There's nothing too big for you. There's nothing too hard for you. And Father, I declare miracles over every person in this room that has their hand up, that you work a miracle in their lives, that miracles are not a thing of the past. They're not a thing of yesterday. They're a thing of today. And that, God, you do a miracle in our lives. And we're thankful for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. The Lord's good. Amen. Man, praise God for miracles. 21 days ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We call it Easter. Jesus rose from the dead after being beaten, brutalized, and died and went into the tomb for 3 days. And he's been alive. If we were alive back then, after Jesus rose from the dead, he's on the earth for 40 more days. That's over a month. It's day 21 right now. If we were alive in that time and Jesus rose from the dead 21 days ago, he's been here 21 days, but he has 19 more days to go. I think it's amazing, and we hear so little about that. We read so little about it, that Jesus was on the earth in a glorified, resurrected body. He wasn't Jesus meek and mild. He wasn't Jesus that rode in on the donkey. He's no longer Jesus the servant. He's Jesus Lord, and he has a glorified, resurrected body. What do we find out? We found out that when Jesus died, he told the thief on the cross, today, you're going to go with me to paradise. And that's exactly where they went. When Jesus gave up his spirit, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And the Bible clearly says that it was in the heart of the earth. It was called paradise. Jesus went to paradise with the thief on the cross. And when he got there, all of the Old Testament saints were there. And they were held in that place until the death, burial, and resurrection. And it was called paradise. It was a good place. Well, when Jesus got there, the Bible says he took the Old Testament saints and he took them to heaven, into God's presence, into God's glory, because the Lamb had been sacrificed once and for all. Then it says he went to the place of the damned. He went to Hades. And when he got to Hades, it says that he preached to disobedient spirits. He preached to the lost. He preached to the damned. He preached to those who did not want God, who did not want Christ. And it was fallen angels, and I believe it was human spirits. And it doesn't say what he preached, and it doesn't say what happened after he preached. But he went there and declared his victory. Then it says in Hebrews that he went before the Father in heaven into the throne room, into the Holy of Holies of God, and he presented his blood as a sacrifice for you and I once for all time. once for all time. Your sins have been paid for. It says he purged your sins once and for all. Then he came back into his body. They rolled that 2,000-pound stone out of the way. The angels did. And they were standing at attention when he came out of the tomb because he was Lord and he was King. And you know, the angels are the army of God. You know that, right? They're not little fat guys with wings, okay? They're warriors. They're soldiers. And if you see one at your house this afternoon, it's going to scare you to death, and you're going to fall on the ground and say, "Don't hurt me." And the angel would have to say, "I'm not here to hurt you. Get up." So they roll that stone away. He came out of that tomb, and he's on the earth for 21 days. So far, last week we talked about how he went to the Sea of Galilee, and the boys, seven of the boys, were there fishing, and he built a fire on the seashore, and he waited for the coals to burn down. He cooked fish, he made bread, and he waited for them to get to shore, and they had breakfast together. I'm going to share another story with you this morning about what Jesus does. And this is right at the beginning of his resurrection. It's actually on the day of his resurrection. But I'd like to make two points. I'd like to show you two things before we get into this morning's story. This story that I'm going to tell you is called the Walk to Emmaus. And many of you are familiar probably with that story. Jesus walks with two men, and they take a 7-mile walk to a place called Emmaus. And I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. But here's a couple of observations that I've had. Number one, he was not in a hurry. Jesus was not in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. Now, I've been thinking about this and meditating on this. Many of us in our lives live our lives in a hurry. Okay, and I've been asking the Lord, "Lord, how come you're not in a hurry, but we're in a hurry?" And he said, "Oh, it's very simple." He said, "Because you think your life is up to you. Because you think you have to get it done, and you don't trust me to do it." Now, I'm going to read to you. I want to jump over to a verse. Kurt, this verse is not in my notes. It's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to read you a description of Jesus Christ. It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets," talking about the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, "has in these last days," the days you and I are living in, "spoke to us by his Son." Now, don't miss this. This is a description of who Jesus is, "who he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." It doesn't say world, it says worlds. Let that sink in. Well, I thought we were the only world. Well, you thought wrong. What does it say? I'm just saying, "who made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory," the express image of his person. Now here it is. "He upholds all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins." Now here's the point I want to make. Jesus is raised from the dead. He's been to heaven. He's been to paradise. He's been to hell. He can go in and out of dimensions at will. Okay? The entire universe is held up by his power. Now, don't miss this. The entire universe, all of known creation, is held up by Jesus. Now, let that sink in. It's held up by Jesus. Okay, Lord, you control the universe, and you're not in a hurry. And now think about it for a minute. Whatever it is you have in your life, okay, God has made you steward over it. Would you not agree? Okay, whether you have 1 acre or you have 10,000 acres, whether you have a job or whether you own a business, however small or however large, whatever it is you have, whatever your family, your children, your grandchildren, you're a steward of what God has given you. Amen? Okay, God is in charge of the universe, but he's not in a hurry. And God spoke to me and he said, "Trust me." What did Jason say this morning? Yeah, to not trust ourselves, but to trust God. So in both of these stories, he's not in a hurry. Here's the second point. In both the stories, the people he interacted with were blinded, not physically, spiritually. Listen, you cannot see and not know you don't see. Amen? Yeah, now I'm not talking about unbelievers. I know you sit there right now and you're thinking, I'm saved, I see. Well, not necessarily. Now, you might see enough to be saved, but there's a whole bunch more you don't see. You with me? Okay, as God, here's the thing. God opens those guys' eyes as they come to shore, and he's going to open the eyes of the guys on the road to Emmaus. And here's what's been stirring in me. God, open my eyes. Jesus, I want to see who you are. I want to see the real Jesus. I want you to let me see like I've never seen before, because we think we see. Oh, I see, Pastor. Well, maybe you do, and maybe you don't. And maybe there's more that God wants to show you. Amen? Let me read to you the story. Luke 24:13. Behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus, the glorified, resurrected Jesus, the Jesus that defeated death, hell, and the grave, the Jesus that upholds all things by his power, the Jesus who's been to heaven, been to hell, been to the throne room, back to the earth, that Jesus, that guy, okay? That Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. He walks with them for 7 miles. But their eyes were restrained. They didn't see. So they did not know him. Now, let me stop right here. It doesn't say how come their eyes were restrained, okay? It's easy to think, well, God did it. Well, God didn't have to do it. They did it all on their own, and God didn't have to help them. Are you with me? Okay, we think we see. Okay, so they didn't know it was Jesus. They just thought it was some guy coming up next to them. And he said to them, hey, what conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and you're sad? And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things that have been going on these days? In other words, you've been under a rock? Where have you been? Man, there was this guy named Jesus, and that's exactly what he says. He says, what things? Don't you love that? Don't you love that about Jesus? I mean, he's playing along with them. I love it. What things? They said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping, right there it is, we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. He was going to crush Rome. Indeed, besides all this, today, the third day since these things have happened, it's the day of his resurrection. Okay, so it's the day he rose from the dead. Yes, and certain women of our company, they arrived at the tomb early and astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just like the women said. See, they didn't believe the women. Jesus wasn't there. He's alive. Oh, shut up. He's not alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Now, would it be okay and fair to say that about us and about me? I'll throw myself right in the pile. Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. You remember I told you that Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Jesus himself expounded to these two guys who he was, and he revealed it to them in every book of the Old Testament up until that time. Jesus is preaching to them, and they don't even know it. They drew near to the village where they were going. He indicated he would go no further. Hey, I got to go. But they constrained him, and they said, abide with us. It's toward evening, and the day is spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Sounds a little bit like communion. It doesn't say right out that it's communion, but the language is kind of the same. And to me, it sounds a little bit like it. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And something miraculous happened. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. Poof, he was gone. Now, let me throw something out. What if, when you receive communion the next time and all the times after, when you're holding that cup and that bread, you say, Lord, open my eyes to see. Lord, help me to see what you want me to see. Lord, I think I see, and I have seen some, because I know Christ is my Savior. But Lord, I know there's a whole lot more to your kingdom that maybe I don't see. And maybe you're trying to get my attention. Lord, would you open my eyes to see? And listen to what they said. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? You know what I want to happen to you every time you come in this place? I want you to leave with your heart burning within you. Not because of me. Not because I studied. Not because I got a message. No. Not because the band is great, and they are great. Thank God for them. They're amazing. We have such an awesome worship team. Okay? I mean, we're so blessed to have them. We're so blessed to have the gifting we have here. Not because of that. And the song, the second song we did, that song is so amazing. I've been listening to it all week long. I listened to it this morning in my bedroom as I got dressed. There's such an anointing on that song. But here's what I want to happen. I want you to have an encounter with Jesus, not religion. Oh, my God, not with religion. If that's all we're doing here, let's knock this wall out and put hay in here and go home. Amen. Now, there's nothing on TV on Sunday now, but starting in August, there will be. And I can watch football all day long. No. Not because of religion, but because we've had an encounter with Jesus, just like they did at the road to Emmaus, just like they did at the lake. And that when you leave here, your heart burns within you because you saw. Because you heard. Listen, we need to see. Amen? We need to hear. Now let me keep reading. Listen to what it says. It says, so they rose up early that hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11, and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, the Lord's risen, and he's appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them when they broke the bread. They saw. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst. Poof, there he was, out of nowhere. Don't you know that kind of shook him up? It says that it did. And he said, peace. Hey, guys, peace. What's up, boys? You remember what he asked them at the lake? You boys catching any fish? They said, no, we're not. So, poof, here he is, and he says, peace. They were terrified. When was the last time you were terrified? Probably the last time I was terrified was about 6 years old in my house, in my parents' house in the dark, trying to go to sleep. And my parents are on the other side of through the wall, but I'm a little kid and I'm afraid of the dark. I've been terrified. Okay, they weren't terrified because of evil. They were terrified because Jesus was there. So Jesus must be something more than we think he is. Because you think if you see him, you wouldn't be terrified. You'd give him a high five and act like a fool. But they were, listen to it, they were terrified and frightened and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, look at my hands, look at my feet. It's me. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe. Oh my gosh. They still don't believe. And it says, for joy, they marveled. And he said to them, do you have anything to eat? You guys got anything in the refrigerator? They gave him some fish and some honeycomb. That sounds good. Amen. If you're cooking fish and got honeycomb, invite me over this afternoon. He took it and he ate it. He didn't eat it because he needed to. He ate it for their benefit. Are you with me? You're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb, by the way. And he took it and he ate in their presence. And he said to them, these are the words I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. What did Abraham say to the rich man who was in Hades, who was in the place of the damned? What did he say to him? Remember what he said? He said, hey, Abraham, would you send somebody to tell my brothers on earth to not come to this place? And what did he say? If they won't believe the word of God, they won't believe somebody from the dead. If you said in Tulia Christian Fellowship and you don't believe the words of Pastor Rusty or Pastor Kurt or when Sean or when Jason gets up or when Greg gets up, if you won't believe the word, you won't believe somebody from the damned. And therefore, you will be damned. Now listen to what he says. He said, it was written about me. And he opened, here it is. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Do you know you can read the Bible and not understand it? Now, I don't mean not understand it because you're not a preacher or because you're not a theologian. I don't mean that. Theologians don't understand the Bible. You can get your doctorate in religion and not understand the Bible. I'm not picking on education, but that doesn't change anything or fix anything. You can memorize the Bible. What does Kurt always talk about? He always talks about how that in Jesus' time, they memorized the first five books of the Bible, but the Son of God's standing right in front of them and they don't recognize him. They knew the book, but they didn't know the author. Come on, somebody. Now, I want you to get this. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Father God, I ask you right now, Lord, would you open our understanding that we might comprehend the scripture? Lord, when we read the Bible by the power of the Spirit of God, open our understanding that we would comprehend what you're saying and what you're trying to get through to us, and that our eyes would be open like their eyes were open when they broke bread with Jesus. And Lord, we would see and it would change us. Lord, for some of us, it's been so long since we've seen any change. You'd open our eyes. And he said to them, it's written, thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. This is the second story in the Bible after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first time they're at the lake, the second time they're on the road to Emmaus. In both stories, God's not in a hurry. In both stories, the participants' eyes are not open until God opens them. My prayer this morning for you is that God would open your eyes and that you would see and that there would be a fire in your heart like you haven't had in a long, long time. And that you would see, and that you would hear, and that you would understand, and that you would be changed. Amen? Would you stand up? Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we look all kinds of places for your power, and you put it right in your word. Father God, my prayer this morning, myself, Lord, first, me, Lord, is that you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to comprehend the scripture. Open our eyes to see you. that, Lord, the next time we receive communion, the next time we take the bread, the next time we take the cup, that we would see, that our eyes would be open. Father God, I thank you for revelation in our lives, for seeing in our lives, Lord, like we've never seen before. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. God bless you. Go and have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you next time.